This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program, presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max, only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Here we go. Welcome inside another edition of Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. No Mark Sacchino today. Mark is playing Marion today, Bob. So looking forward to hearing Mark's reaction to playing Marion. That's the course where whenever we talk about distance and debates and whether we need a rollback or not, Mark always refers back to that 2013 U.S. Open when Justin Rose won. I believe he was one over par, and that was playing less than 7,000 yards. So looking forward to having Mark's reaction on next week's show. But Bob, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I can confess to being at that U.S. Open, by the way, and the rough was 7 inches, and anyway. I'm good. Everything is great. We had a chance to play. That was my first round of the year on Monday. We were out at Hamilton taking a snoop around the renewed golf course there, which I thought was fabulous. That's my only round of golf so far this year. It's been so busy with other stuff going on here that I haven't had a chance to get out and play. So I know you played. You were a couple groups ahead of me, I think. I tried to hit into you, but we had a group in between us, so, and we don't hit it far enough. Like you, if you had been in our group hitting into me, you could have done that. But anyway, I think everybody had a good day, and there were some good announcements, and we got some new players and lots of stuff I'm sure we'll discuss as the show goes on today.
Yeah, totally. And we'll have a full breakdown of our experience at Hamilton Golf and Country Club to kick off hour two. I have some thoughts, and I love the place. I absolutely loved it. But before we get to that, that's why I was going to ask you, because I knew it would have been one of your first rounds of the year. And for, generally for these media days, when we walk in, I most of the time see you socializing, see you talking to PR people, etc. But when I got there, Bob, you were on the range and you were in full grind mode. You were bombing drivers out there. I was a little surprised to see you on the range, but now it explains everything.
Yeah, well, I hadn't swung a club probably for a month or so. I've done some indoor stuff over the winter, but not a lot. And we had new clubs, and so I had to kind of figure out what those were giving me. And it took a little while to shake the rust off, but there were some good shots and some bad shots. But overall, we had fun. I had a good group with producer Jamie Rydell and Kara Waglin and one of our regulars here, Kristen Murphy. So we got it around and got it in the hole and had some laughs along the way.
And that's the important thing for sure. It was a great day at Hamilton Golf and Country Club for Media Day. Well, busy day for us here on GTC. We're on from now until noon right here on the TSN radio network. Then 2 p.m. TSN 1 and 4, 5 p.m. on TSN 2. Busy show. We weren't live on Monday, so we didn't have a chance to debrief Taylor Pendrith's first career PGA Tour win. He is going to join us in about 25 minutes' time. We're also going to hear from RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director Brian Crawford. I had a chance to go one-on-one with TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley President Chris Humanik for their opening of the North Course and some other news going on within TPC Osprey Valley. And we are also going to profile the all-new TaylorMade PUDI and PDHY irons with Matt Bovey. That's coming up at the end of hour one. But tons of news going on in the world of golf. Let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger. Everybody knows one.
Well, to kick things off, it is a signature event this week on the PGA Tour, heading into a major championship, the PGA Championship, next week at Valhalla. And when people look at the betting books on FanDuel, we've been so accustomed to see signature event, Scottie Scheffler, overwhelming favorite. That's not the case this week, Bob, as Scottie Scheffler not in the field as they await the birth of first child with wife Meredith.
Yeah, there's sort of the waiting game is on, and it was my understanding that the baby was due kind of at the end of April, but obviously babies decided to take a little longer to come out, and we're not sure what'll happen, but I'm assuming that Mr. Scheffler will be in the field next week at the PGA Championship, and he'll be certainly be on one half. I was going to say he's going to be well rested, but on the other half, if the baby comes, he won't be well rested. He'll be dying to get a little bit of sleep, but. It is kind of unusual not to have him in there, but fully we understand, obviously, and maybe opens the door for some other folks to have a chance at the winner's circle.
Well, as we've seen in other sports too, there's that new dad energy. We saw Brandon Carlo, defenseman for the Boston Bruins. Him and his wife gave birth two nights ago, and then he was on a flight from Boston to Florida that landed at 5 p.m. and played that night for the Boston Bruins in game one of the second round, and he scored, and he's defenseman. So I'll talk about that new dad energy. Bit of a sore subject for Maple Leafs fans. We're not going to get into the Maple Leafs. However, if any news does break during the show, we will be sure to update everyone on the latest and the not so greatest with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So no Scottie Scheffler this week at Wells Fargo, and no Ludvig Åberg as well. Decided to withdraw due to a knee issue. You got to think he's just being a little cautious here, Bob, heading into a major next week.
Certainly hope so. I don't want to say we don't know fully exactly what the extent of it is, but he did seem to indicate that it wasn't anything major. Probably just need a little bit of rest. But you certainly hope it's nothing that he's going to keep him out for an extended period of time. But I think a lot of guys, obviously, around major championships would rather miss a signature event and play in the major than the other way around. And so probably good for Ludvig Åberg to sit one out. But again, if you are looking at FanDuel, you might be. The question mark might go up. What do I do now? Do I continue on with Oberg as one of my picks, or maybe I should take a little time off? But I think we'll know pretty early on next week what his status is.
And just seeing some news break right now online in regards to Rory McIlroy, who is looking to win his first major since 2014, the site of that last major. Well, that was at Valhalla, and that was 10 years ago. Now, Rory was either just speaking with the media. I think he was just speaking with the media. Anyway, there had been rumors that Rory was going to rejoin the PGA Tour policy board, but Rory said, and I'm quoting him here, "There's a subset of people on the board that were maybe uncomfortable with me coming back on for some reason." Bob, what on earth is happening behind the scenes right now with the PGA Tour?
So the policy board obviously has a lot of players on it, and there's a group of sort of three or four, five maybe that are at the top of it in a hierarchy. Mackenzie Hughes is on the policy board. Corey Connors, I don't think Corey's on now. I think maybe Nick Taylor's on. Anyway, Rory was on the head part, the top five part, and he resigned last year, took a step away. And a lot of people talked about the fact that maybe it was just too much. He was spending too much time dealing with everything. He just wanted to get back to playing golf. He was sort of frustrated with everything that was going on here, there, and the workload, I think, became too much. So he stepped down. Now, Webb Simpson is on the policy board as well, and he is going to, he said that he would probably like to end his term early. I think he has one more year on it. And at that point, he suggested that Rory should take the spot, and Rory was all in. A number of players that were, not necessarily the superstar players, Kevin Streelman being one, James Hahn being another, kind of came out and said, "Well, look, you quit. You quit on us. You stopped. You were on the policy board. Why should we let you back in?" And so there's sort of an uprising of players who are, I don't know what you, I guess, I don't know how to define them, but not necessarily superstar players, who are still have every right to a vote, and they've spoke out, and now Rory has said, "You know what? If that's the sentiment, then whatever it is, I'm going to step back. I don't want to cause any more of a kerfuffle here," and I think probably a wise decision on Rory's part.
Wow. Well, it's been pretty quiet in regards to the negotiations to bring everyone back together. At some point, who knows? Maybe I'm sure we'll hear a lot of presser sound next week at the PGA Championship when players are all back together. And the PGA Championship field was announced yesterday. Top 103 players in the official world golf ranking, six Canadians, which we'll get into a little later in the show. And Bob, 15 LIV players were also announced on the list that came out yesterday, many of them given special exemptions, including one Taylor Gooch, which we'll get into later in Winners, Weird, and What. But what are your thoughts on the PGA Championship and their board, or the PGA of America and their board, giving LIV players special exemptions?
I think it's a decision that they can make. I think that they are uniquely situated where they're allowed, they can do this. You know, some of those players, you can be a member of the PGA of America and also a member of the PGA Tour or the LIV Golf Tour. I don't know if any of those guys are, but I think the PGA of America always prides itself on having the deepest field in golf. And so I think they wisely decided, let's get a few of the guys on LIV who are otherwise not qualified, who have had good years, and give them spots in the field. And it's sort of a softening of the hard lines that a lot of the big four, Augusta, U.S. Open, Open Championship, and the PGA have taken in the past and allow these players to come in. So I don't think there's anything really bad about it. I think it's makes the quality of the field better. And if nothing else, it shuts Taylor Gooch up.
Well said. And according to Doug Ferguson from AP, Louis Oosthuizen was also given an invite, but he turned it down due to personal reasons or other things going on. Louis Oosthuizen, of course, a couple of years ago had a really good run at the major championships, finishing short to Phil Mickelson at the 2021 PGA, finishing just short to Jon Rahm, the 2021 U.S. Open, and short of Colin Morikawa at the 2021 Open Championship. Now, speaking of major championships, we're about 6 weeks or so away from the U.S. Open, and NBC has announced their broadcast team. And most notably, Bob, is Brandel Chambly is going to be one of the main analysts, along with Brad Faxon. You spoke about this a little on TV that first aired last night. What are your thoughts on Brandel Chambly being in the booth?
I love it. I think Brandel is a guy that people watch. I think a guy that people listen to. I don't necessarily think everyone agrees with him. In fact, you can pretty much see that on social media. But I think he's got a lot of good knowledge. He's a hard worker. He is prepared for everything he does. He's done a little bit, you know, and we haven't seen a permanent NBC replacement since they got rid of Paul Azinger. Had a few trials out there, but none of the other players felt that they wanted this role at this point, from what I understand. And I think Brandel is good. The only thing I can say is that him going on to that might be a loss for Live From, the show that he normally appears on. Now, I understand he's going to make some appearances on that afterwards, but that's a long day for a guy when you're in the booth as long as the U.S. Open is on as well. But I think the thing about Brandel that you can sort of cut and dry with is people either love him or they hate him, but they'll listen to him, and that's good. I mean, it's sort of like Don Cherry, or you know, there are guys that you don't always agree with, but the people listen to him, and I think that's what Brandel has going for him right now.
And he has opinions, but he backs up all his opinions in just a brilliant way, in my mind. And sure, he can be hostile at times, but he always has reasons for his arguments, and he's very well prepared. Now, also in the booth, Bones. So Jim Bones McKay was Justin Thomas's caddy for a couple of years. He was Phil Mickelson's long-term looper back in the day, too. I'm pretty pumped to have Bones back in the booth, Bob. Bones, it provides really good insight. I love how some of the caddies or former caddies are now broadcasting, John Wood being one of them, Jim Bones McKay. What are your thoughts on Jim Bones and his presence on a broadcast team?
The only thing I'd be surprised about is why he's in the booth. I would like to have him on the ground walking, because he knows, and as a caddy, obviously you know exactly what's going on. Having said that, you know, he's been around so many of these golf courses for so long, and both with Phil Mickelson and with Justin Thomas, and I think the insight that he has to the courses and to the players and their idiosyncrasies and their shots and what's good and what's bad and what you need to do, I think is probably second to none. So he's going to only add to the broadcast. It's great to have him there, and I'm sort of dismayed that no one's gone to him and or he hasn't found a bag that he likes or whatever in there, because I think that's probably where his happy place is. But That's a big gain for the TV viewer to have him commentating.
I would just salivate at seeing Bones carrying the bag for Rory McIlroy, maybe. Wouldn't hate that. That would be a big change for sure. Now, before we go to break here, we mentioned we were at Hamilton Golf and Country Club for RBC Canadian Open Media Day and some new player announcements of who are going to be playing this year have been announced. Tommy Fleetwood and Shane Lowry, a part of that, Bob. So you wonder, we saw Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry do karaoke after winning the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Maybe we see Shane Lowry on the stage during the RBC concert series. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't know if they know any Our Lady Peace songs. We'll have to see with what they can do. But a little bit of Journey wouldn't hurt again if you could start things off, maybe just to kick the show off. That would be good. Don't Stop Believing or one of those songs. But yeah, it's fun. It's great. Listen, I think Tommy Fleetwood coming back is huge. The guy who finished runner up, and wouldn't it be great to see him win if it's not going to be a Canadian? But both those guys are really enjoyable to watch, really enjoyable to listen to. They're great interviews. So they seem to have a lot of fun in their game. So that's good. Those are the kind of guys you want in your tournament.
And we'll have much more on player announcements a little later in the show as well. All right, we're just getting started here on Golf Talk Canada. When we come back, Nelly Korda is trying to accomplish something that, no one has ever accomplished on the LPGA Tour. We'll discuss Nelly Korda's bid for the six-peat this week as well. Brooke Henderson looking to continue her very consistent season. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max, only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting movember.com today.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada, another Wednesday edition of the show. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Mark Sacchino will be back next week. Okay, this week on the LPGA Tour, it is the Cognizant Founders Cup, where all eyes will be on Nelly Korda. Bob, some time for some Golf Talk Canada trivia. Has any player in LPGA history ever won six straight LPGA tournaments? I'll answer that for you. No. Nelly Korda looking to make history this week, looking to become the first player to ever win six straight tournaments. When you think of the history of the LPGA Tour, all the unbelievable players that have come through, that have retired, that are in the Hall of Fame, how remarkable would this achievement?
You know, I was thinking afterwards, there's a lot of great players who barely won six tournaments in their careers. And now you've got someone who's going to do it in six starts. And the only two golfers that have won six or more consecutively or six starts are Byron Nelson, who won 11 in a row, the last of which was the Canadian Open, by the way, and Tiger Woods. So, you know, now you're putting yourself go beyond the LPGA Tour. Just think of the company that you're in now. If you're Nelly Korda, and I see she kicking things off in style, she went to the Met. The Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art has a big gala dinner, which is one of those places where you want to be seen and you dress like you are there to impress. And she was featuring. She was the guest of the Wasserman Group. They had a table, I think, and she was wearing an Oscar de la Renta dress. So very nice for her to do that, kicking the week off in style. And we'll see what she gets, but I got to imagine it's just crushing outside the ropes with all the attention and all the media requests and all those sponsor requests and tournament requests and everything that's going on this week. So I'm sure she's pretty happy to probably get herself inside the ropes when she starts on Wednesday or on Thursday at this tournament.
And she's teeing off tomorrow morning just before 8 a.m., 7:59 a.m. Nelly Korda looking for her sixth straight win. And Bob, from a golf perspective, is there one area of her game that has impressed you the most during this time?
You know, she drives it really well. She's hit a lot of greens. I think she's hit 75% of the greens this year, and that's an outstanding number of greens to be hit. I think there's not really a lot of weak parts of her game. I would say the mental side of her game is the thing that makes it strongest to me. She's talked about that, how she's tried to really simplify everything, make things much easier whenever she gets out onto the golf course. She and her caddy, they put together a plan at the start of the week about how they're going to attack the golf course, and they stick to that plan. So there's no real surprises when you get out there, no guessing per se, other than trying to figure out the wind and getting the right club. And so I think they've strategically mapped things out, and I think that's a big part of why she is so successful. She has all the shots, obviously. So I think that's the part that impresses me the most is just how strong she is mentally with all the focus and attention that's going on her. It kind of reminds me of Tiger Woods.
Wow, high praise there. I like that a lot. And in terms of just overall, when you look at television ratings, the LPGA for the last number of years, we'll be honest, it hasn't done well. American golf, we haven't seen a big superstar on the LPGA tour of an American in quite some time. So just from an overall sports perspective, how important is this run or has this run been for Nelly Korda and the LPGA Tour?
Well, it's a huge opportunity. I mean, let's face it, if Nelly Korda wasn't going for number six here, I don't know how much attention we'd be giving to the Cognizant Classic. It's a big event. It's based on the, or not the, yeah, the 13 founding members of the LPGA Tour that this tournament recognizes. And I think, you know, the sad part is that there's no live television of this. It is just on streaming service live in the States. It's going to be broadcast on tape delay. And you know, there's a lot of stuff that reasons why this happens. And you can I was listening to a great podcast with Beth Ann Nichols and Grant Boone, who were talking about how it would be great to be able to snap your fingers and just put this on primetime television, or bump something else off. But you can't do that. There's contracts signed, and as I say, this is something that you can't predict. It's the same sort of thing that happens when Brooke Henderson gets into the hunt at a tournament, and there's no television coverage in Canada. You know, we just say, well, why can't we do that? Why can't we snap our fingers? So this is an opportunity that's frustratingly being missed by the LPGA Tour, not by anything that they've done, but it is at least going to get a lot of attention. And who knows? Maybe if there's some will or some way they can bump things up a little bit or move things around if she's in the hunt on Sunday. I'm not sure what they'll do, but at least listen, we're talking about it here on Golf Talk Canada. Most of the time when we're talking about the LPGA Tour, we're talking about Brooke Henderson. We're talking about Nelly Korda and other tournaments and things that are going on with it. So it's a big boost for them. It's just about how do you capitalize on it, and that's a tough question to answer.
Time for some more Golf Talk Canada trivia, Bob. Nelly Korda is number one in scoring average this season on the LPGA Tour. Who's number two?
Let me guess. Oh, Brooke Henderson. In fact, they're the only two people under 70. There you go.
Yes. There you go. So, given what we've seen from Brooke Henderson so far, do you think a win is coming soon?
Yeah, I definitely do. Now, you know, as we found out last week with Taylor Pendrith, breaks have to go your way. You know, he chipped in four times last week. You got to get the right breaks. You got to get the right misses. You got to get lucky and hole a few that, you know, sometimes when on weeks and those putts lip out, this time they lip in. But she is playing some just outstanding golf. She really is back to form like we saw her. She wasn't in this kind of form last year. And I think it's just great to watch her play and perform. And yeah, I do think she's going to do it. And I mean, it would be sad if she broke Nelly's streak this week. But listen, I think anybody would take it. A win is a win, and you take that. And I can't see her going too much longer if she plays like this without getting a win.
Well, Brooke Henderson, five top tens and eight starts this season. And as of late, 14 of her last 15 rounds on the LPGA Tour have been even par or better. Brooke Henderson playing some great golf. Another Canadian who played great golf last week, Taylor Pendrith, winning his first career PGA tournament. When we come back here on GTC, Taylor Pendrith going to join us.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit weathertech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC, Scully and Weeks here. Taylor Pendrith, the latest winner on the PGA Tour, the Canadian picking up his first career PGA Tour win. Before Bob and I discuss Taylor Pendrith and his victory, shortly after Pendrith tapped in from that wild 72nd hole, Pendrith, one-on-one with Bob.
So Taylor, it's taken you a long time to get here, all sorts of injuries, all sorts of setbacks. How satisfying is it for you to get that first PGA Tour victory?
Yeah, it's crazy. I've been close-ish in the past, and you know, sometimes you think, am I ever gonna win out here? Am I good enough to win out here? And you know, everything clicked this week. It was drove the ball really nicely. I haven't been lately, and so it's super satisfying. Considering you know, I've been grinding to get here, number one, my whole life, and my third year out here, I feel like I'm getting more comfortable, but you never know if you're going to win or not, if you're good enough to win or not. So having that little putt on the last was a wild feeling, and I'm really happy it went in.
What were the emotions like going down the last few holes? Because obviously there was a lot going on and ebbing and flowing, and how did you handle that?
Yeah, it was wild finish. Ben was playing really good all day. He was very solid, and he was rolling the ball well, and he missed a couple putts mid-round, but 16, I hit a pretty good shot from the rough, and it just jumped and went to the back edge, and really difficult two-putt, and was able to make that. I knew he was in there tight, so he was going to make birdie. We'd be tied. And then 17, he hits it where he's supposed to hit it, just left, just past it, and I thought I hit a really nice shot. When I hit it, I thought it was going to be perfect, and it was probably a yard from being really good. I haven't seen it, but I saw where the pitch mark was, and then I was in a difficult spot, and I made probably the best up and down of my life just to give me a chance. Chipped it as good as I could right where me and Mitch were talking, and he made that putt, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I got to make this just to have a chance. And I hit a nice putt and just dripped in at the last second. So I was like, all right, let's go. We gotta first get the ball in the fairway, and then have a chance for eagle. Cause I figure, you know, Ben's probably going to make four or five. And I hit a beautiful four iron in there, kind of right where we were looking, flew a little deep. But yeah, then it got crazy. It's, you know, he was in a pretty difficult spot, you know, with his lie wasn't great. And then he hit it short of the green, and then was in a harder spot, and then had, you know, 5 or 6 feet for par. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know, just let's hit a good putt here, get the right speed. Me and Mitch had the line picked out and didn't hit it hard enough. I was hoping to hit it down there, tap it in, and then put the pressure back on him. But I didn't expect him to miss that. It's a shame. You know, he did play very solid golf today, and then I suddenly have a putt for the win, which is wild. Yeah, it was a roller coaster, but Mitch told me, he said, this is the straightest putt. It was, you know, 2.5 feet, but it felt longer than that. It's the straightest putt you've had all year, and just knock it in. So it was a crazy finish.
You said this earlier, you've been known as a big hitter and your driver's been working well, but I think, can I make a fair statement and say that you may have won this tournament with your wedges and your putter this week?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I think I had 3 or 4 hole outs, maybe like chip ins, a beautiful one today from the bunker, which was kind of a huge momentum, boost there after kind of not hitting a great shot. It was a difficult one, but, anyway, to hole that, and it just felt like every time I missed the green, I you know, wasn't in super difficult spots, but my chipping was great. You know, for the most part, I'd chip it up and kind of looks like it has a chance to go in, and then go tap it in. So it was pretty stress-free week, I guess. Like, I never really had to grind for par until today, and there's 3 or 4 times today where I had to make some, you know, important 6-7 footers, and was able to do that. But Yeah, I've been putting great this year, and the driver I feel like has been holding me back, and I putted good this week again and drove it probably the best I have this year.
I know it's been all of, let's say, about an hour and 20 minutes since you tapped in for the win, but this is going to change your year pretty considerably, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we had a flight booked to Charleston tonight, and we weren't going to make it anyways, regardless of what happened. And so we changed it to tomorrow morning, but now we're going to Charlotte. So it's, yeah, going to open up some more opportunities for sure.
What about that one
That's
in September? What about that one in September?
on the radar. I mean, it's a huge goal of mine, and obviously this week helps, but all the international boys are playing great. So hopefully have a good summer, and we'll see. That'd be unbelievable to do it in Canada.
Taylor, congratulations. I know it's taken you a while to get here, but savor that victory because it's well earned.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Just an awesome comeback story there, Taylor Pendrith. Now, we should mention his pre-tournament odds on FanDuel were, oh, just 90 to 1. Taylor Pendrith, now a winner on the PGA Tour. Bob, this guy's been through a lot, and you spoke with us on TV too, and I'd love to hear it again. This guy's had some weird injuries and has had a ton of potential for his entire career, and now he's finally a winner on the PGA Tour. How impressed were you by his performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think he came out of college and they were expecting him to sort of go on the same path as Corey Connors, both good players, both sort of had the same rep in the past. And Corey went all the way through, Canadian Tour, Korn Ferry, and then up. And Taylor was kind of one step forward, two steps back, because every time he'd start to progress, he'd get some injuries. And he had one of the weirdest injuries was a torn, I think it was a muscle across his palm. And that, to me, I've never heard of anyone having that, whether they're a golfer or otherwise. And that kept him out for an extended period, I think like 6 months. And then he was playing in the Players' Championship last year and in the middle of the round somehow broke a rib that set him back for a couple of months. And he's had other issues, nothing that's been like consistent. Like he doesn't have a nagging knee injury or nagging back injuries, just these one-off weird things. But every time they're a little bit extensive. And as a result of that, when you're in those lower tiers, if you're on the Korn Ferry Tour and you don't play six or eight events, then you drop back. And then he had to go back to PGA Tour Canada. So there's been sort of this one step forward, two steps back scenario for a while. But when he finally got to the PGA Tour, you always expected him to perform well. And this performance is sort of what we thought of Taylor. He'd always been known as a big hitter, but as he said in the interview, his wedge play was great. He chipped in four times. His putting was great. And I think this is what we expect now. How much can he keep this going forward? I think there's reason to believe he'll be a consistently better golfer. I don't know how many times he'll win, but he's put himself in the race now to make the President's Cup team. And how would you like to have a guy who hits it as long as he does on your team? That's probably the reason why he got picked last time, sort of a surprise pick for sure. But he didn't do very well, unfortunately. He and Corey, of course, we know the story there. But I think this is a victory that has been a long time coming, and I think it's a victory that's going to propel him to bigger and more consistent placings up near the top of the leaderboard, as opposed to missing cuts.
Really coming out of nowhere, too, similar to that run he made in the summer of 2022, the six straight finishes of T13 or better to impress Captain Trevor Immelman for the International President's Cup team. And on that topic, this time last week, you, Mark, and I each picked our International President's Cup team. We also picked Team USA as well. How many of us, Bob, had Taylor Pendrith? Oh, wait, I'll answer that for you. Nobody. So it's awesome to see. And in terms of looking at the stats, Pendrith moves up 12 spots to number 14. So you got to think for Mike Weir, a guy who's won this year, guy who bombs as far as he does, to your point, but also to your point in the interview, when his wedge game is on, this guy can possibly be tough to beat.
I think right now there's a lot of hype about the win, but I don't think, if I was Mike Weir and I had to make a decision today, I'm not sure I would pick him, only because I want to see what's coming up. I want to see that this is more than a one-off. I want to see that he's got some extra fuel in the tank to sustain this, like he did 2 years ago, as you pointed out. It just does show you, though, how volatile those standings can be. I mean, what if Adam Svensson or Mac Hughes wins this week, right? I mean, everything just throws up in the air. even the race right now that we have for second place on the Olympic team between Adam Hadwin and Corey Connors. I mean, those guys, we're looking at those two saying, yeah, it's going to be one of those two. But if Tater wins again at some point or has finishes runner up, all of a sudden he could pass them and get be on the plane to Paris with Nick Taylor. So there's a lot of time left. The U.S. Open is the deadline. I think that once the U.S. Open finishes, that's the deadline for picking the Olympic team. And the President's Cup team will be later on. Obviously, they want to wait as long as they can to make sure you get someone who's coming in hot. So that's there's two cutoff points for these guys that they're focused on. And talking to most of them, I think most of them would rather play in the President's Cup than in the Olympics. And I think, I don't know, it'd be that's an interesting choice. But I think because it's one time in Canada and it's Mike Weir, all those kind of things together, I think make it maybe just a little bit more important than the Olympics at this point. But it's going to be an interesting summer. And the next few 6 to 8 weeks is going to be really interesting to see who can catch up. And these guys are chasing each other and they're pushing each other at the same time.
It's a great performance by Taylor Pendrith, and I want to shout out his caddy before we sign off and go to break. His caddy, Mitchell Thurette, played 5 years in the OHL. And
yeah, played for the Ice Dogs and was a seventh-round pick of the Islanders.
That's right, 185th overall back in the 2011 NHL draft. And I don't want to make this about me, Bob, but I actually did play against Mitchell Thurette back in the day.
Did you?
Back in my athletic prime.
When if you ever see Mitch, and if you're at the if you're at the RBC Canadian Open this year, and you see Mitch, you'll understand why he played hockey. He is a big, thick body, and a super nice guy, and a guy who's really helped Taylor along. They actually one of the things that Taylor mentioned after the win was that they sat down and had a real talk about communication and how they wanted to discuss things and how they wanted to trade information so that it was a positive experience in every regard. And that was another just one of the small bricks in the wall that led him to being able to climb up and get a win.
Just an awesome performance by Canadian Taylor Pendrith. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we profile the new TaylorMade PUDI and PDHY. That's coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Wrapping up hour one here on GTC with some news from our friends from Team TaylorMade. They have released their newest irons, the PUDI and PDHY. For the full story, the full breakdown on all the tech involved with these new products, I caught up with TaylorMade's Matt Bovey.
All right, discussing the PUDI and PDHY irons from TaylorMade. Now joining us, all things irons, Mr. Matt Bovey, good friend of the show. Matt, welcome back to GTC.
Thank you. Scully, always good to see you, man.
Always good to see you too, my friend. Okay, what is your excitement level for these new utility irons?
Hello, guys. very high. It's hard for me to actually express my excitement level with these for a handful of reasons. One, I've, for the majority of my golfing career, been a long iron utility iron player. Came from Arizona where, you know, it's windy, it's firm. So like a one iron was a staple in my bag as I kind of like learned to play and at the peak of my golf career. But also like the design language on these is incredible. We locked in on that early. I think it's beautiful. And I'm really, really excited that they're in the P series now. And what that means for what we did for the, you know, the performance intentions with each of the products, and also what it means from a custom fitting perspective. So people can actually go find out how they should set up the top end of their bag. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about this new setup.
And now how long have these new utility irons been in the works?
These have been going for about 24 months. So a lot of development time. And then of course, like just the refinements and shaping and making sure we got all of that right. Now that's in the P series, it's got to look more traditional from an iron perspective. We worked a lot with our tour team as well, specifically on the UDI, but a little bit on both to make sure we actually have a more compact blade length this time. We've cleaned things up from the playing position. Again, looks more traditional than where we've been in the past, and it feels phenomenal. So we made sure we went through all the little details to get it to where better players are going to appreciate this in a way they just haven't from us before.
Now, before we get into all the tech, let's get real simple. PUDI, PDHY. What do these stand for?
So P stands for players in the P series family. UDI stands for ultimate driving iron, and DHY stands for driving hybrid. The DHY kind of lives in this middle ground between an iron and a hybrid or a rescue, as we would call it. So it's got a little bit wider sole, lower face profile, allows you some different versatility. It's a little easier to get up in the air, different types of shots compared between the two, but they're both utility irons from us, and they have a lot of specific benefits. It just depends how you want to work your way around the course.
And now we'll get to the main technology points here momentarily, but let's say someone watching this interview is using the P790 irons per se. Do you think these new products have a very similar feel to that of the P790?
Yes, definitely. So similar construction. Again, we'll get to the tech, but the forged hollow body with speed foam air inside. It feels like a 790, maybe even arguably a little bit better as we've continued to learn and refine. But it's a good option for 790 players. The PUDI is actually going to be more forgiving than a P790, even though the blade length is a little bit shorter. Now you're going to see more from a dress. It's got a little bit more. You can see a little bit of the back bar. So the idea there is you're not looking down at something so intimidating, but it's got that penetrating flight and it's forgiving. On the DHY side, it's actually the most forgiving iron we make. It's more forgiving than a QI iron. So even if you're on the game improvement side of the spectrum, if you have a hard time hitting long irons and you're not necessarily someone who wants to play a rescue type of product, the DHY is a fantastic option. That's like the secret weapon in the iron portfolio. It gets overlooked, but those who like go down that path, I find end up loving it, and they just become staunch DHY players.
Wow, a lot of information there. And give us some more in terms of technology points that are with both of these products, both PUDI and PDHY.
Happily. So both the PUDI and PDHY have, like I mentioned, forged hollow body construction. They got that high speed 4140 face that's similar to a 790 or a 770 in terms of face materials. They have the speed foam air inside. Again, that allows us to really damp out those vibrations while making that face as fast as possible. They also have internal tungsten weighting, which allows us to drive up that stability, make them very, very forgiving. Again, that's a really key aspect to designing utility irons or long irons. You want them to be stable so they're easier to hit than your set of irons. And they have the speed pocket as well, which gives that face more flexibility for those low impact positions. And that's so important, in my opinion, specifically for irons like this and your long irons, because your angle of attack, it's a bit more shallow, and you find yourself hitting lower on the face more often. So you really need to protect that ball speed to give yourself the ability to have that consistency and that forgiveness.
And you mentioned something a little earlier about the PDHY, the most forgiving iron in the set. Now, we were together in Greenville back in December. You told us all about the QI iron, so those were very forgiving. But how did you make the PDHY even more forgiving?
So the PDHY, like the QI iron, is extremely forgiving for sure. The PDHY is just, it's a different embodiment. Being that forged hollow body construction, it has a similar blade length to a QI iron, but it's got a lower face profile, which allows us to, again, we have more mass to play with, and we can just put stuff kind of in a different place inside a hollow body iron, which allows us to drive up that forgiveness. So it's really a combination of face shape plus the tungsten weighting that's in the PDHY because it's forged hollow body compared to the QI iron. Now, getting into like these versus are the other irons in the lineup, what I love about these is they give players a different option for the flight window that they want to hit. Now, like a P790 or a QI, those are both going to have a lower center of gravity than these irons. And they're going to be actually loft for loft easier to launch in the air than the UDI and the DHY. These are going to give you a little bit more penetrating flight with more spin. So it's going to reach a similar peak height, but you're going to get that penetrating flight if you want it. Anytime you're looking for a fairway finder or you're playing in the wind, again, like the DHY has a lower center of gravity. than the UDI. So it's easier to launch in the air than the UDI, but they are going to be give you different flight characteristics compared to the set iron in a QI 790 or 770.
So there's so much technology jam-packed into these two products, but when you look down at a dress or just look at these products in general, they're beautiful to look at. How important is the look of both of these irons and the importance of that to any player?
Yeah, extremely important. Like the look in how that inspires confidence in a player. And we all know that the more confident you feel over the ball, the more likely you are to hit a successful shot. It's just, it's that simple. If you believe you can do it, you're much more likely to execute, right? So the balance in terms of how much back bar do you see? What's the top line thickness? How's the offset look compared to the rest of the product? You got to have it all in balance and really just dialed in. And again, something we go through a lot of effort to get right. And with the UDI specifically, working with our tour team to get some, again, their feedback and giving them a different option for the long irons. Because a lot of tour players, they also want a long iron that's easy to launch in the air and is going to hit the number that they're looking for. And again, like you compare this to like an MB or an MC3 iron, like those are very, very challenging. 770 even, like that gets to be difficult and it's a different spin profile. So we wanted to give them another option that looks great and performs great.
You mentioned tour feedback there. Do you think we're going to see both of these models out on tour?
I think there's a good chance eventually. I don't want to, you know, chinx myself, but we are working very hard with a certain world number one who likes to see more back bar at address. He's more of a DHY type of player than he is a UDI. And again, this comes down to like, it's just what you like to look at, what gives you confidence. Neither of these should be pigeonholed like, oh, that's for better players and this is for game improvement. Doesn't work that way. It's just what about what works for you. And I think that there's a chance that you'll see some PDHYs on tour, but you will definitely see more of the PUDI on tour than the DHY.
Well, I guess in summary, it's safe to say that the PUDI and PDHY, the perfect addition to the P series of irons. What do you think?
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. I think it rounds out the P series portfolio very well. They just make sense inside the P series. We know that if you're playing a UDI or a DHY type product, you're likely in a 790, 770, or maybe even something more towards the better player side of the spectrum. Really rounds it out. Again, you got to think about how you want to play golf, how you get around your course, the type of shots you're going to hit, whether it's your normal course or maybe you got a golf trip coming up and you're like, you know what, I'm going to be in a link style and I got some wind. I need something that's more penetrating. These are perfect tools to add to your arsenal, even if they're not in your weekly bag.
So much versatility with these two new products. Can't wait to give them a try. Matt, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, pleasure, Scully.
Can't wait to try out the new clubs from TaylorMade. Okay, that wraps up hour one here on GTC. To kick off hour two, RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director Brian Crawford going to join us right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to hour one of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Golf Talk Canada rolls on hour two of the back nine here on GTC. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Mark Sacchino is probably entering his back nine at Marion right now, where the U.S. Open was held in 2013. Mark will be back with us next week on GTC. Busy second hour coming up since we weren't live on Monday. We were at the RBC Canadian Open Media Day. We'll have a special Wednesday edition of Winners Weird and What. We'll make our PGA Tour picks for this week's Wells Fargo Championship. We'll also go one-on-one with TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley President Chris Humanik. But Bob, on Monday, RBC Canadian Open Media Day at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. Was that your first time around Hamilton since all of the changes were made?
Yes, it was. I played there a number of times before the changes went, and I was just blown away. I mean, the greens are significantly different. Like, they didn't just go halfway here. It wasn't just tweaking. And they took out a lot of trees. So the overall look of the course is better. The play is much more challenging. There's a lot of really good, interesting pin placements. I mean, I know people won't know this exactly, but the 10th hole to me, where the pin was up in that top left little corner, there's just a little plateau there. I mean, there are some really challenging, nothing unfair that I didn't see anything unfair, but it's going to be a great test. I think the players will love it.
I agree. I love the bunkering too, and some of the changes that were made, especially to the par 5 17th hole, where they pushed that green back a little bit, and it's a little deceptive. It tricks the eye a little bit. There are some greenside bunkers that used to be greenside bunkers that are now, you're about a 35-yard bunker shot from there. Challenging layup spots too, especially on that hole too. My one minor regret is I wish with the new setup that the tournament was in July in terms of what it's going to play, in terms of firmness, in terms of breeze, because we know here in the GTA, last night it absolutely poured rain when the RBC Canadian Open was at Hamilton the last time in 2019. It was freezing early in the week. It poured rain, but then Thursday through Sunday it was 19 and sunny, and the course was super soft, and these players made it look easy. You think the St. George's a couple of years ago, where we had all that rain on the Saturday evening, super soft golf course too. But I have to give a shout out here to Golf Canada PR extraordinaire Dan Pino, because I was waiting to interview Brian Crawford after our time there, and I said, Pino, I'm in love with this place. And he looked at me and started laughing. Bob, I was so impressed. Just so impressed with everything. And to your point too, those green complexes, if they really wanted to trick up the golf course, they could do it so easily too. And I found it was super playable too. I mean, we'll see the guys go back way, 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 way back, but for any, you know, whether you're a 12 handicap or a 4 handicap, you can play and enjoy that golf course very easily.
And here's one of the interesting things. I was thinking about you when I was standing on the 18th hole. And now people might remember this, but there's a creek that cuts across it. And from the back tees, I think to clear the creek is a 350-yard carry. So I thought, oh, who's the only person in this field who could do that? Might be Adam. But I'm not sure if you're going to try. But I would think it would be kind of interesting if, let's say, maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday, move that tee block up to where it's now maybe 290 or 300 to carry. I don't know how much of a huge advantage you would get to it, but it would be an interesting task to see if anybody would try. I mean, you know, Rory can carry those guys. Most guys can carry a lot of guys can carry it the distance needed from some of those more forward tees to get over the creek. It's just a question of whether they would take the risk on to do it or not, and obviously where the wind is going and things like that. But pretty cool. There's some really good options up there now that I think may not have been there before. And I think you're right. If it doesn't play too soft, it could be a really fun tournament.
And I think you guys started on the 9th hole. Is that right, Bob? So you were 9B. So you wouldn't have seen the new new 7th hole, which is a shorter par 4. So you didn't see that hole. So that's where we were playing, or I was playing with Golf Canada President David McCarthy, as well as Rick Young, our good friend, and Bill Johnson, who's a longtime member at Hamilton, and told us basically every change that had happened. It was so amazing to ride in a golf cart with him for part of that round. Anyway, that 7th hole, we were playing from probably around 6,400 yards, 6,300 yards in that range, and that hole was playing 310 for us, and you can move the tee deck anywhere. And that green, they've removed so many trees. You can stand on that green and look back and see the 18th hole. You can see the clubhouse. You can see basically the entire property. It's one of the best views. And I was egged on to hit driver there, and I wasn't not going to hit driver there, Bob. I didn't drive an hour and a half to lay up, right? And let's just say my second shot was from over the green. So tried to feather a nice little cute cut in there and hit it a little long. But anyway, I can't wait to see the players tee it up at the RBC Canadian Open. And we heard some player announcements before we get to the interview, some player announcements during that press conference afterwards. We mentioned Tommy Fleetwood. We mentioned Shane Lowry. But Team RBC will be there too. Guys like Cameron Young, Sam Burt, and Sahith Theegala, Bob.
Yeah, and some other Canadians too that I like that are added to. Aaron Cockerell sent out a tweet saying he's playing on the DP World Tour and from the Manitoba area. He's going to come back for the third year in a row. I love to see that. I love to see it when all the Canadians come from all over the place. I think Miles Creighton from Korn Ferry Tour is getting a start. So there's some guys that may not be top of mind for Canadian golf fans, but you should take a look. I'll tell you, if you want to see a guy putt, Aaron Cockerell may be the best putter that I've ever seen in the last 3 or 4 years. This guy is so good with a short stick. I mean, Mike Weir might even consider him as if he can roll in a few putts for him. But it's a good time when all the Canadians come home. And I love the fact that they're so proud and they're so desiring of trying to play in their national championship. It means something extra for them. And just to come travel, like he's traveling a long way back. He's now set down roots in Dubai. So he's coming back from Dubai to play for 1 week in the RBC Canadian Open, Aaron Cockerell is. And I think that's that just shows you how much this tournament means to them.
I think it was 2 years ago where Aaron Cockerell, he either got a late exemption or qualified late. It must have been a late exemption where he went like Germany, Toronto, somewhere in the Germany area. I want to say back-to-back-to-back weeks. And I think last year, too, Bob, Miles Creighton lost his clubs en route, or he landed at Pearson and three of his clubs were in half, like some sort of weird travel story. And Miles Creighton came runner-up on the Korn Ferry Tour a couple of weeks ago, too.
Yeah, this is a big tournament. This means a lot to these guys, whether it's Corey Connors or Nick Taylor, or whether it's Miles Creighton, or whether it's the Canadian Amateur Champion, some of the young M's who get into this tournament. And I think it's great to see them all coming out. And people should take a look at them and get to know them a little bit, because this will be 10 years from now, those will be the guys you'll be watching and hoping that they can sink a 72-foot eagle putt to win.
And those players coming up too, influenced by what we saw last year, Nick Taylor, that iconic "Where were you when" moment. Now, before we do get to this interview, we got to talk about the rink hole. I'm looking forward to seeing that all fully set up. It wasn't quite set up for when we were there. We're still 2.5-3 weeks from now from the tournament itself. How much are you looking forward to not only be broadcasting from the rink hole each day like we will be, but seeing the rink hole and the atmosphere in action for another year?
It's another big hit. It's grown. They've got just sort of not right at the rink boards, at least right where all the cheering will be, but just a little bit away. There's now two-tiered grandstands, I guess, and I'm not sure if those are being sold or if they're just public access or what they are, but it's getting a bigger and bigger reputation. I've talked to some players over the years who sort of noted it and said, you know, it's sort of like the waste management, but a little bit more refined in terms of the players know, or the fans, I should say, know when to stop yelling, and they don't scream and they don't throw things on the court on there. But there's still a lot of the beating on the boards and the O Canada stuff. And it's the place to be if you want to have a couple of drinks and have some fun.
And before we get to this, I also loved your Instagram post with Kara Wagland, where you guys were standing. Were you over the boards and was Kara beside? I couldn't quite tell.
I was outside the boards and she was inside the boards. We were reprising our over the boards session that we did at the CPKC Women's Open last year at Shaughnessy, because the rink now is not just for the men's open, it's also for the women's open, and it will be again this year at Earl Grey in Calgary.
Looking forward to seeing the RBC Canadian Open, the CPKC Women's Open as well at Earl Grey later this summer. But the man who runs it all for Golf Canada, RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director Brian Crawford, shortly after we didn't break any course record, spoiler alert, at Media Day. Here's my interview with Brian Crawford. Here alongside RBC Canadian Open Tournament Director Brian Crawford, and we're 3 weeks out now. How excited are you?
Yeah, it's coming up quick. It's always a great time of year. The weather's gotten nice, the trees are starting to pop, the grass is green, and the tournament's just a couple sleeps away.
Now, the last time we saw Hamilton was back in 2019, Rory McIlroy, that great victory. But viewers, when they watch this time around, it's going to look a little different. What can they expect when they watch?
Yeah, absolutely. So following the 2019 event, a complete renovation, all 27 holes here, done by Martin Ebert. They redid every green, all the bunkers, approaches. They added some tees and some length, changed the route, some of the contouring. So it is a drastically different, although still the same and familiar, but drastically different from a playability perspective. And it's going to be just a great test and challenge for the players that we think they're really going to love.
Now, we just got to experience the golf course. We saw a lot of the grandstands going up, and sure, a lot more going up. How long has that been in place already?
Yeah, we get started in the fall. So start in November for about 7 weeks before Christmas, take a little bit of time off through the winter when the weather is not as cooperating as much as we'd like. And then we're back at it in early spring, kind of in March, and about 20 weeks in total of setup time to get all the things in place that the tournament needs.
Now, I know, Nick Taylor's playing, all the Canadians, Rory McIlroy. I understand there's a couple other names that are being announced here?
Yeah, a few more coming. So we're incredibly lucky that we have the best home court advantage with Team RBC and all of our Canadian players. And of course, Rory being back is fantastic. We got the defending champion here against our defending champion from last year to set up what should be a great week of golf.
And you mentioned the defending champion, Nick Taylor. That was an iconic "where were you when" moment. When you think back to that, when you reflect, what are some of your memories from 1 year ago?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It was an iconic moment, not just for golf in this country, but an iconic moment for sport. And, I personally feel really fortunate to, have been kind of up close and personal for that event and that moment and to get to be part of it. And, what unbelievable play by Nick to, with all that pressure, 69 years, 72 feet, to knock it down and win in that way is, that's an iconic moment for, forever. And, really great, and we're just incredibly proud of all of our Canadians, of course, and they're winning on tour. They're in the hunt week in and week out, and make for a really great tournament here in Hamilton.
And when people think now RBC Canadian Open, they think the rink. When people show up here, where is the rink at Hamilton?
Yeah, so back on 13, where it was back in 2019, so the par 3 back there, bigger and more built out than ever, and it really has become our marquee hole. We're able to move it around from place to place as we move the tournament around, and really give something for our fans to gravitate to and support. And it's incredible, the energy that's back there, the renditions of O Canada every time a Canadian takes the tee, and the players have really bought into it and really made it what it's become, and that's a really special part of this tournament.
And another big part of any tournament is volunteers. How many volunteers are involved this time around?
Yeah, record-setting number, 2,300 volunteers are part of making this all work. Incredible. We have so many volunteers that have done it for multiple years. We have a 40-year volunteer. 40 years they've been volunteering for the RBC Canadian Open, and dozens more that are, in the 30s and 20s. And so we're incredibly lucky. Their passion and energy is just like blows me away every single year. Sometimes it's the only time they get to see some friends that they've made just through volunteering. They get to see them once a year here at the tournament. And, we're really lucky. And the city of Hamilton and the folks here in this community, they come out and wave and support the tournament really like no other.
And 3 weeks out. So what needs to be done from now until tournament week?
Yeah, lots of finishing touches still to go. We need every day that we still have to get everything in place, all the signage and branding and all the furnishing, like 9,000 pieces of furniture that are going to start to come on site in the next week or so. And so lots still to do. All the big pieces are up, and you can kind of got to see all that today. But yeah, lots to go, and lots of excitement to keep building as we get to tournament time.
We're so excited for the RBC Canadian Open. Brian, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
And Bob, we are back again on the rink hole Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, TSN Radio Network, simulcast on TSN. How excited are you, Bob, to be back at the RBC Canadian Open, where you can listen to us, you can watch us. Let's just hope that we don't have any live news, because that's happened the last two RBC Canadian Opens.
It's a great week, and I think we're more than proud of being able to bring entertainment and information and news and some laughs to everybody who's listening, people who are watching. It's a big week for us. It's rivaled only by the Masters in terms of the effort and the production and everything that we put into it. So I think we're very, I think we're just very, very helpful. And for golf fans, I think it's a big week too. If they can't be there, then at least they can get some information from us. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. It's going to be a good week. And I mean, I think we saw what could happen and how great it can be. And, despite all that live news that you just mentioned, you think back to the last few championships and the drama we've had down the stretch. It's been just spectacular, and I hope we get another one of those.
Hopefully we get another one of those. And my reaction to the merger news went viral as we were live on TV when it happened. Let's hope maybe we go viral for a different reason this time around, maybe for the success of some players as we look ahead. Can't wait for the RBC Canadian Open. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, lots going on at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, a full renovation of their North Course restaurant, locker rooms. I saw it all. It is awesome. We'll hear from their president, Chris Humanuk, next.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Well, TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley is a must-attend location. Three world-class golf courses, unbelievable facility, and there's been quite a renovation that has been done. The North Course and the location overall opening tomorrow, Thursday. And for much more on all things TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, I was there over the weekend, and I chatted with President Chris Humanuk. Now joining us, the man who runs it all here at TPC Toronto, Osprey Valley, Chris Humanuk. Chris, good to be back here. And how exciting are these changes now that we're finally in place?
Well, first of all, welcome back. It's great to have you here. It's incredibly exciting. We've had some surreal moments here recently as we stop walking just to celebrate the things we see. Now we've certainly got a lot still to finish here, but very exciting time for the family. This has been 30 plus years in the making. So,
and I understand, so the changes here on the North Course, do I get this right or have this right that every bunker was redone?
Every bunker was redone. We eliminated 30 or 40 bunkers out there. We moved the fairway bunkers into the right place for the modern golfer. But it's a new look course. It's the same north, but it's a very different course at the same time.
And Ian Andrew was a big part of this. What does it mean to have a guy of his stature do this reno?
Ian has incredible vision and a willingness to embrace our thoughts and ideas. We did have the PGA Tour engaged initially in the design process, and we handed Ian a playbook, and he grabbed it and ran with it. Very exciting.
Mentioned the PGA Tour, so I have to ask you the question. Is the goal to host an RBC Canadian Open here maybe sooner rather than later?
I set myself up for that one, didn't I? Look, it would be an honor. Mm-hmm. We'd love to do it. It's certainly something we're working towards. With Golf Canada being on the property, you know that they hope to do it. Give us a little bit of time, and we'll get back to you on that.
Well, and we renovated the North Course. We also renovated the driving range, the practice facilities. What can people expect when they step on this property?
A far more comprehensive practice facility, a much larger tee deck space, short game facilities, a couple chipping greens, pitching greens, brand new putting green. Built out our academy building, so there's indoor hitting bays. We're building a teaching team, so it will be a destination unto itself.
And there's so many great holes, great courses on this property. If you could guess, how many rounds of golf are played here annually?
You know, we don't like to push the rounds too much. Right. We maintain wide tee times, 11, 12 minute tee times, to make sure that the experience is there. Mm-hmm. You're coming this way to play and get away from it all. But we'll do 65,000-70,000 rounds of golf this year, I think. So, and we wouldn't want to do more than that.
Right, right. And so we renovated the North Course. Also, new clubhouse. Tell us about that.
This clubhouse is just, it's a wonderful new amenity for us. It's a 60,000+ square foot venue. It's intended to give us flexibility to host different groups of people at the same time without stepping on each other's toes. So a wonderful a restaurant venue here in tribute to my father and uncle, the two brothers restaurant. We've got event space, we've got corporate meeting space, we've got some VIP accommodation suites here. So we're really looking forward to opening the doors here next week and putting it to use.
I was going to ask you that question. Two brothers, that's quite a meaningful name to a great restaurant.
You know, everything we've done here has been built on their vision and this incredible canvas that they left for us and all the potential that they left for us. I spent a lot of time over the years meeting with my father and uncle to discuss their thoughts and their ideas. And this is just our way of saying they're always going to be here with us.
That's very well said, my friend. Now, this is quite a destination, and now people have the opportunity to stay as well, too. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, our main block of accommodation is still under construction. Mm-hmm. It'll be coming online towards the end of this year. Mm-hmm. But stay and play it fits with our hope of becoming a golf destination rather than just a golf course, a golf facility. So we're looking forward to hosting events here, tournaments, corporate events, that type of thing. And stay and play just goes hand in hand with that.
It certainly does. Now, you've been here a long time, obviously your family as well. But for you, as we close, what's your favorite part of your role here?
Oh, gosh. You know, I will say, I think in the end, it comes down to the incredible people I've been able to meet. So many great people with history in Canadian golf. I can't pick just one. But, you know, to meet the Mike Weirs of the world, the Gary Cowans of the world, to go back a little bit in history. That's, you know, I think when I'm done, I'll look back and think those are the things I've enjoyed the most.
That's very well said, my friend. Well, hey, congratulations on all the success so far, and looking forward to getting on the golf course.
Thanks, Adam. Great to have you here.
Many thanks to Chris Humanuk for joining on GTC. Bob, I know you've been to TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. How positive have your experiences been at the facility, and how much are you looking forward to seeing the all-new North Course?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the build-out that's going in there with the clubhouse and some of the other structures that are going up. I think it's an amazing facility. You know, is it too far out of the city? I don't think so now, when you consider that if you wanted to drive from downtown to Mississauga, it would probably take you just as long as it will take you to drive up there. I think the courses have matured. I think Chris Humanuk has a vision, as he sort of outlined in that interview that you did with him. He is a really, really marvelous guy. Someone who is committed to golf and in many different ways. And I really think that TPC Osprey Valley is going to play a big part in Canadian golf going forward with all the stuff it's going to have up there. I mean, from Golf Canada headquarters to the Hall of Fame to coaching and teaching areas, it's going to be sort of a home for Team Canada, I think. I mean, it's just when this thing gets all through and is up and running, it's going to be a spectacular place. Not that it already isn't.
It is, and looking forward to getting back there again, hopefully very soon. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, a special Wednesday edition of Winners, Weird, and Wild.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Well, we weren't live on Monday as we were at RBC Canadian Open Media Day, so we didn't have a chance to do Winners, Weird, and What. So we thought, let's do it today. So with that being said, Bob, the tee is yours.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, well, my winner this week is a bit of a sad note. It is Peter Oosterhuis, the great golfer and broadcaster. And I think if you are of a certain age, you probably only remember him as a broadcaster. If you're really young, you might not remember him at all. But he was a fixture on the CBS broadcast. He also came up to Canada and worked with us on our crew for the RBC Canadian Open for a number of years when we had our own broadcast. And he was a delight to work for, a charming guy, very professional, consummate broadcaster in terms of preparation. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He did a lot of due diligence, did a lot of research before every round. He would walk around on the holes. He would ask people what was going on, how the conditions were. He was just so prepared. And it's something that I've sort of have followed when I've done broadcasts, or even when we're going to tournaments. You try to think of the hard work he put in. He was also a heck of a golfer, and this is a little bit even before my time, but he played on 6 Ryder Cup teams. He won 20 times around the world, and one of his wins was the 1981 Canadian Open. And he battled Jack Nicklaus down the stretch at Glen Abbey. And the final hole, Jack had an eagle putt to try and tie him for a playoff. And he left it about 8 inches short. And on that same hole, actually, Peter Oosterhuis hit his second shot above the green, chipped it into the bunker, chipped onto the green, and made his par to make sure that he didn't loft one into the pond on 18 and make a bogey. But a great individual, a great person, and it's kind of sad to see him go. Obviously, he was sick for a while. He had early onset Alzheimer's disease, I should say, and he passed away at the age of 75.
No, I was just going to say, Bob, I to your point, I'm not that old, so I don't remember him as a player, but always a great broadcaster. Really was to the point, he was just a really good broadcaster, so he will definitely be sorely missed.
Fixture on the 17th hole at Augusta National for many Masters broadcasts. My weird this week is something that Bryson DeChambeau did. Now, Bryson is, you know, we know he's got a strange streak in him as well, but this time it was streak took place in Adelaide during the live stop down there. He was on the practice putting green. Some fans who looked like they may have had 1 or 7 beers were standing around him, and they said, "Let's have a bet, Bryson." And so they bet that he couldn't make this 10-foot putt that he was practicing. And they said, what do you want to bet for? And the fan said, "I want your socks if you miss." Bryson looked at him and said, "My socks?" He said, "Yeah, I want your socks." Anyway, he missed the putt. Bryson, to his word, took off his socks. He signed the socks, which I thought was it was a little bit weird, a weird touch. And he gave them to the fan, and the closing shot on his social media was him walking back into the locker room barefoot. Dustin Johnson happens to be there sitting on the steps and said, "What are you doing?" Well, he says, "I just had a bet. I bet a guy and I lost my socks." Dustin said, "Did you sign them?" And he says, "Yep." And he walked in. I mean, I don't know. You couldn't make this stuff up. That's just the weirdest thing, isn't it? I wouldn't want anybody's dirty socks. Would you want them, Adam?
Well, it's almost like in tennis when they throw the armbands into the crowd, or their sweatbands, the headband, after a match. But Bob, we know PGA Tour players, LPGA Tour players, professional golfers sign golf balls all the time. And those are hard to sign an autograph on. But
yeah,
I got to say, to put a Sharpie on a sock that's sweaty, I think it would just sort of smudge pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would think so too. And the other thing was, after he signed them, he kind of rolled them up like, you know, if you were putting them away in your laundry, after doing the laundry in your drawer, they were kind of in a ball, and he handed it to the guy. And anyway, I don't think that guy really knew what he was doing anyway. The fan, he was sort of, he was having some fun. He was having some fun. He was well lubricated. And my what this week is something that we discussed in the top of the show, which I think is interesting, is that Brandel Chambly is going to be the lead golf analyst for NBC at the U.S. Open this year. Now, NBC, obviously, and Golf Channel have a partnership, and so they work together. But this is the first time that Chambly has been the lead broadcaster. Now, we know that Paul Azinger was there for many years, but his contract wasn't renewed. And they've tried a number of other different players later in career, players as broadcasters throughout the year. I think they had Luke Donald for a while. They had Kevin Kisner for a while. But they're going to go with Brandel Chamblee. And I don't know what you think, Adam, but I think this is a smart move because I know people, some people don't like Brandel Chamblee. Some people love Brandel Chamblee, but nobody will tune out. It's sort of like Johnny Miller when he was in his heyday, right? People just said, oh my gosh, I can't believe what he's saying. But they still watch and they still listen. And I think that's what kind of, the kind of guy that Brandel Chamblee is going to be as a broadcaster.
Well, and as we know in this business, Bob, if you agree with everything you watch on TV, or it's going to be boring, honestly. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, yeah. But, you know, you need different opinions. And I think Brandel, especially on that Live From show, which to our conversation earlier in the show, I hope he still is somewhat a part of anyway. I think if whoever his panelists is, whoever is with him, if they have whatever their opinion is, whether good or bad, Brandel is able to take that and just go the opposite because he knows so much about the game. He is so well-researched. He's so known for using those yellow notepads that he writes on and goes over and over and over again. So I'm looking forward to seeing Brandel and what he has to offer at the U.S. Open.
All right. Well, Adam, you now have the tee.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
Speaking of sweet, my winner this week is a man we talk about all the time at major championships. That's Brooks Koepka, who won LIV Golf Singapore over the weekend, a two-shot victory, his fourth career LIV victory, and heading into his title defense of Valhalla at the PGA Championship. He's already won three Wanamaker trophies. Bob, this guy could be peaking at just the right time as he looks for number four. What do you think about Koepka and his chances heading into next week?
Yeah, I mean, anytime he's on form, you got to like him. I mean, he just, as he said, he peaks for those four events a year. He was very upset about his performance at the Masters, I know, and he went on a grind session and tried to really been working on his game and his fitness and a lot of different things, I think. And, but yeah, started to show. I mean, that was a pretty convincing win, 15 under, I think, through three rounds. So you gotta like Koepka anytime he's in form coming into a major.
And tons of Koepka-related content heading into next week, both on Golf Talk Canada and SportsCenter. You'll have to wait and see and tune in to that. Okay, my weird this week goes to a interesting press conference that LIV had prior to LIV Golf Singapore, where Taylor Gooch was sitting with Brooks Koepka, Jason Kokrak, and Graham McDowell, and they were asked about if they're going to try to qualify for the U.S. Open. Now, Koepka is already in the U.S. Open. Obviously, he's won the thing twice. He also won the PGA last year. But Jason Kokrak mentioned that he is going to try to qualify a couple different ways. Graham McDowell, too. He won it at Pebble Beach many years ago. But Taylor Gooch offered a very simple answer when he was asked if he is going to try to qualify, and that answer was no. No follow-up, no nothing, just no. So Taylor Gooch, now since then, he has been given an exemption into the PGA Championship next week, and he's been very vocal about where he thinks he should sit in the official world golf rankings. Now, as we speak right now, Taylor Gooch is currently ranked 644th in the official world golf rankings. And his last four starts that have actually counted towards the world rankings, he has a miscut, another miscut of WD, and a T42. So my advice to Taylor Gooch: let your clubs do the talking and perhaps shut up. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, he has delusions of grandeur, I think, of where his golf game is. He's a good player for sure, but he's not up there to a point where you're going to get an exemption into the U.S. Open. I mean, those are handed out very rarely and only on deserving either people who've contributed to the tournament in the past or people who... I mean, Tiger Woods is the example, right? He got one this year because he needed one, and you're not going to not want him in there because for a number of reasons. One, he's going to bring in a huge amount of people to go and follow him. Taylor Gooch is not going to attract a lot of people other than maybe his family or something. And no offense to him, but you know, why would you give a special exemption to Taylor Gooch? He hasn't proved himself playing wise. He's certainly a good player, but I don't know if he's stood out in anything. And he's not really a draw for any means, and he doesn't have any historical ties to the tournament, which is another way they get people in. So I don't know. He's just living in a different world.
Yeah, he certainly is. And my what that I used on TV is something that we discussed last week, and that's Tiger Woods, the U.S. Open exemption that you just mentioned too. So I'm changing my what, and this is what an image this was. Taylor Pendrith taps in, wins for the first time in his PGA Tour career. Camera pans over to one Mackenzie Hughes, holding not one, not two, but three ice cold beers. I don't know, Bob. This was the most relatable thing I've ever seen with a professional golfer. It's pretty hard to hold three beers at once. Not that I've done it at all. But for Mackenzie Hughes, this was just awesome to see supporting his buddy.
One of the beers he was drinking himself. I noticed that. And then the other one, a second one, he poured down Taylor's back. I saw that too. And I don't know what the third one he actually gave him to him to have a drink or not. But I can tell you that these guys are a real good bond. Obviously Taylor and Mac went to school together. Mac was a year ahead of him, and so they have a good bond, and they're all the Canadian guys love to support each other. And if you are in the tournament and one of your boys is going to have a chance to win, you're going to be standing there to watch it down the stretch. So I mean, it's just all you have to do is look at what happened last year with Nick at the Canadian Open and all the guys who were up behind the greens. So great, good for Mac Hughes for cheering him on.
I love that. I don't love the pouring beer on someone. And to your point on last year, too, I remember Nick Taylor was in his press conference afterwards, and he said he sort of blacked out as to what happened, but his hat reeked of champagne. So I guess, you know, celebrations, I don't know. I don't love the spraying. Just savor it. It's good. Just pour it down your gullet. Anyway, good on Mackenzie Hughes for supporting his boy. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll run through our PGA Tour picks for this week's Wells Fargo Championship and look ahead to next week for the PGA Championship. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Before we get to our PGA Tour picks this week, Bob, as I saw you striping 7-iron after 7-iron on the range at Hamilton Golf and Country Club, I did notice you were wearing your new Adidas Tour 360 24 shoes. How do you like them?
I do. I was wearing the camo brand models that we got, as opposed to, I have a BOA one as well, which I actually like, but those are at my golf club. I'm keeping those for my everyday use, and these will be my touring ones. They're great. You know what I really like? That new cleat that's sort of up at the toe. That's really good for driving off on your back foot. It's something else.
I totally agree. Okay, as we know, every week during our Wednesday shows, we make three selections for the PGA Tour. Bob, give us your three picks this week at the Wells Fargo Championship.
All right, I'm going to go with my first pick, Rory McIlroy. I know he's a favorite, but hard not to pick him. He's won here three times. My second pick is Max Homa, who has also done some pretty good things around Quail Hollow. And then my third pick, I'm going Xander Schauffele, who I just think this guy has done everything but win so far this year. So I think those three picks for me, McIlroy, Homa, and Schauffele, and I'm hoping to get a winner out of those three.
And Schauffele, known really as one of the best players without a major championship so far in his career. McIlroy's odds, plus 650. Schauffele, plus 900. Homa, plus 2,000 right now. Mark, he's going with the three betting favorites, McIlroy, Schauffele, and Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark's odds plus 1,400. As for me, I'm going Patrick Cantlay plus 1,800, Max Homa plus 2,000, and a bit of a flyer on this last one, Justin Thomas at plus 2,500, 7 over in his last four holes to miss the cut at the Masters, playing in a hurricane, but was T3 in his last start at the RBC Heritage. Now, Bob, we're going to be back reunited on SportsCenter later today, 3 handicap, and we're doing a YouTube hit that you'll see on TSN's YouTube channel on Taylor Pendrith. We're going to debrief his victory but also look ahead to not only the Olympics, but the President's Cup too. I'm looking forward to that back and forth, Bob, because, hey, Taylor Pendrith has made his way coming out of nowhere to be really on the radar now for both squads.
Yeah, I think there's a danger in being a little bit over zealous in what his chances are coming into the future, but certainly we've sort of thought about this as something that would happen a long time ago, and now that it is, it's just great to see. Great to see, and you're right. The future is very bright. We can hypothesize and make all sorts of predictions, and let's hope we're right.
And we've had a lot of viewer feedback on how sometimes we tend to wear the exact same thing, whether it's our Adidas clothing on Golf Talk Canada or our suit. So I'm just telling you right now, live on the air, Bob, I have a tan jacket that I'm going to be wearing today.
I'll wear mine.
Okay. Oh, no.
Shouldn't wear the same thing. Oh, I get you. Sorry. I get you now. Yeah. I'll choose something
different. We could, but it's, you know, we'd have to have a little preamble, go back and forth about that. We've been known to mix and match without calling each other. So I'm going tan. You had a nice blue and yellow combo. I think that was last week, a nice blue and yellow.
That was last week. I'll go something a little more muted today, I think.
Okay. Well, you'll wear something muted, I'll wear something tight, and the world goes round as we know it. Okay, we are back. Speed Golf later today. YouTube, 3 Handicap as well. Check out our Instagram, Twitter page for the next prize on 20 Weeks of TaylorMade. You're not going to want to miss that. We'll see you again, TSN 1 and 4 at 2 p.m., TSN 2 at 5 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and remember, the first good decision for the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television weekly on the TSN Television Network.